Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 6 of October. As usual, I have here with me Hernani Chopart, my regular co-host. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. I'm doing great. Glad to be here again. Welcome, everyone.
Well, this episode, we will have a special topic that I believe that it will be of great interest of most of the listeners. I'll be talking about a series of articles that I've been writing lately regarding unusual site speedup techniques that I've been implementing in the PHP Causes site and actually the server that runs also the JS Causes site. And these articles focus on unusual techniques that I've been implementing for to make things run smoother and have a greater perception of speed from the part of the users. And this will be a very interesting podcast. This podcast is also a thing that I'm going to start now, which is having sponsored shows. And right in this first sponsored show, our sponsor is NewSphere. NewSphere is the company that develops the PHP head, the IDE for developing PHP applications. As far as I know, is the first commercial PHP IDE that was ever developed, and it includes the DBG extension, which is used for debugging PHP programs. And it was written by Dmitry Dmitrienko, which is one of the co-owners of NewSphere. Actually, I met Dmitry many years ago in the International PHP Conference of 2001 in Frankfurt. And it was nice to meet him in person right in the moment that he was just introducing the DBG extension for debugging PHP programs. And but talking a bit more in detail about the PHP ad that NewSphere is making available for many years, as I mentioned. It is one kind of IDE which I noticed that is very fast, even when it is managing large projects. It is a Windows application, and it runs on Windows environments, and it is implemented as a native IDE. I mean, it's not a program written in Java that is on top of Java virtual machine, and that actually makes it very fast.
Despite PHP head is a Windows application, you can also run it on Linux and macOS. You can use either VMware or Parallels virtual machines, or use Wind Windows emulator, which is probably a better solution because it will run integrated in your Linux or Mac desktops.
Another interesting aspect of this this IDE is that, as many other IDEs, it implements code folding on completion, not only of PHP, but also of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, which makes it pretty much complete for most PHP applications. It supports all major PHP frameworks like Xen framework, CodeIgniter, Cake PHP. And this support in practice means that it can complete code for that uses the classes of those frameworks. So it is well aware of those frameworks, and if you are developing PHP applications using that those frameworks, it works quite nicely. It provides a very advanced debugger, like many other debuggers that let you run PHP programs and single step on them, put breakpoints. It has a nice feature that at least so far I have not seen in other debuggers, which is the ability to debug multiple PHP scripts running in parallel. This may happen, for instance, when you have a PHP script, web page, that is, for instance, calling another PHP script that is running as a web service. And this parallel debugging support of PHPHead is great because it lets you debug both scripts running at the same time. You can check variables and the state of the scripts on each side. Other than that, it features a very nice profiler. For those not familiar with the what a profiler is good for, it's basically a program method that lets you run a script, a program, and outlines the sections of the program that are running faster or slower. And this is helpful to let you figure where you should focus your efforts to optimize your PHP code. So it was great to have NewSphere as sponsor of this podcast. And they are also nice because they are providing to the listeners of the Lately in PHP podcast to get PHP Ad with a special discount. And to benefit of that discount, you can go to phpclasses.org/sponsor/NewSphere. And on that page, you will find a discount coupon code that you can use to obtain a great discount if you are willing to purchase this PHP Ad ID, which I thoroughly recommend. So thank you again, NewSphere, for the sponsorship. But now, moving on to with our podcast, I'm going to get back to our main subject of this podcast, which is the topic of the articles that I've been writing, unusual site speed-up techniques. Basically, it is a series for now made of three articles. And on the first part, I focus in the aspects related with the front-end, the web browser itself. One aspect that I focus is something that has been affecting the PHP Classes site perception of speed from the part of the users for many years. Basically, the PHP Classes site has several spots that present advertising, and that advertising is retrieved from remote servers of the ad agencies that negotiate the ads that are presented in the site. So to make those ads appear in the pages, what I do is basically place some HTML tags with JavaScript that retrieve the remote JavaScript that generates the actual HTML that makes the ads appear. Well, the problem with this is that it slows down the load of the rest of the page. On each spot where the advertising appears, I have the browser actually stops and only proceeds rendering the rest of the page when it has finished loading the ads. So this gives a bad feeling to the users that the site is slow, and actually the site is not slow. The pages actually are served very quickly, but since there are heads delaying the page, not just heads, like there are other aspects, elements on the page, like widgets, like Facebook widgets, Twitter widgets for retweeting the URLs of the pages and so, and all that delays the load of the page. And unfortunately, this has been a reason for many complaints that from the users that have been unsatisfied with this situation. So I have thought about the problem, and I figured that it would be great if somehow I could move the position where the ads appear on the page to the end of the of the page, which is the basic solution that I use to avoid that the ads delay the load of the page. And I used a JavaScript component that is actually published in JS Classes site that makes all ads and widgets load at the end of the page in a hidden div tag. And when the ads are finished loading, they move the DOM nodes, the elements that constitute the head, to the original positions where they should appear. And the result was awesome. It was great. And now the users can clearly see that the page loads immediately. It does not take much time to load. And it is a solution that actually giving a greater sense of speed to the users. I hope that the user will no longer complain about the speed of loading of the pages as they used to be so far. Hernani, have you noticed this difference of the loading speed of the site from about 1 or 2 weeks ago until now?
Oh yes. Basically, when you hit the site today, you don't get that waiting time and the feeling that the page is not completed in time. And once the page is fully composed, then you can see the ads popping up. So it really improved the quality of the visualization, and most likely it would also benefit the user and yourself as well. So yeah. I strongly recommend the users to adopt this technique.
Yeah, for those interested to actually adopt this technique, the article that I mentioned has a link to a tutorial in the JS Classes site that teaches users how to embed this JavaScript component that makes it easier to use this solution in a systematic way. And other than that, one reason that I was concerned if this would be a good idea or not is that once the ads load faster, I wonder if the users would notice them more or less. I was afraid they would notice the ads less, and in the end they would not even click on the ads as much as before. Surprisingly, the result is quite the opposite. What seems to happen, although I'm not 100% sure that this could be the reason, is that the users are actually noticing the ads more, and the click-through rates have improved. And this seems to be a good sign that it is possible to make things faster without compromising the possibility of the users noticing the ads and click on them. I also would like to just make a side comment that the PHP Classes site puts ads on the pages, obviously because it needs the advertising revenue that the site the advertising generates regularly. And it was never my intention to somewhat upset the users with the amount of ads that are in the page. But I hope the users understand that the ads are really necessary. And but moving on to the next article that I have written right after that one, that first one, about unusual site speedup techniques. This second article, talks about a different problem that I tried to solve that was happening in the P- PHP classes site, which is basically the fact that a web server does not just run processes that serve web pages. There are a lot of other processes running on the background to perform other tasks that are important for the maintenance of the site. For instance, like delivering newsletters and alert messages that are going out practically all day, and this kind of background process competes for the CPU that is also shared with the processes that serve the web pages, because it is currently all running in one server machine. And I looked at the problem of that was happening, because as the number of newsletters being delivered, as well other tasks like backup tasks that are generating backups to save the data to safe places, and as well another task that is going on for a long time during the day in the PHP class site, which is the indexing and the content of the pages for providing a good search system that provides updated results. That is another process that goes on in the background. Apart from other types of simpler maintenance tasks, all these tasks compete for the CPU. And if you have too many of these background tasks running there, you can actually slow down the speed at which the pages of the site are served. And as the site has grown over time, these background processes become more and more significant in terms of load that impose in the server. So I had to figure a solution to avoid this problem of slowing down web server processes. The solution that I found out was to basically to actually I thought of two kinds of solution. One would be to move those background tasks as many as possible to a separate server machine, which would probably resolve this issue, but at the expense of increasing the costs of hiring more server machines. And so I would try to avoid that as much as possible, or at least delay it until the server, the site is getting a greater audience and eventually generating more revenue that could offset the costs of additional servers. So the alternative solution that I found was to somehow slow down those processes, those background processes, when the server load is too high. And basically this second article focuses on how did I implement that. Just I'd like to comment that I've been using this technique not just recently, I've been using for many years, for as many probably as I had the site running, sending out newsletters to the site users. And just so you have an idea, each blog article that is posted in PHP Classes site, there is an alert message, a newsletter, a short newsletter that is going out to about an 500,000 registered users, and that is quite a lot. It takes several hours to deliver those newsletters, but despite that, it is not an urgent task to be performed. So I thought it would be not a big deal if I somehow slow down the delivery of those newsletters during the periods of the day or being just a few seconds or a few minutes of the day on which the server load is quite high because there are too many background processes running in parallel. So to help in this task, I have developed a class system monitor class, which I also made available in the PHP Cluster site for those that would like to use it. And it is once I started using it, it practically solved the problem. The only thing that I had to pay more attention over the time is that as the site grows, certain background tasks that are running there tend to be more significant as the site audience increases. So over time, I had to tune different background process scripts to implement this this approach of slowing down. And this approach works this way. Periodically those scripts, those PHP scripts running on background, check what is the CPU load, the average CPU load of the system during the last minute in the machine, which is, on Linux systems is quite easy. There is this proc, this slash proc slash load AVG file on the system that you can check to get the load average in the system, and it basically returns a number that you can have an idea of how many processes in average are waiting to get CPU. So I implemented this class that monitors this load average, and every time that the average is above a certain threshold, I suspend the currently running script. And in PHP there is this sleep function, which pauses the process for as many seconds as you want, and this way the currently running script gives up a CPU for the benefit of other processes running on the machine, eventually the web server processes that are serving the pages of the site. Hernani, are you familiar with this technique, which I call CPU throttling, which is basically lowering the speed of certain processes?
Actually, I wasn't. As I am not a Linux user, I wasn't aware of how you would be monitoring the average load of the CPU. But I was assuming you probably would be performing a top process or parsing some outputs on a special Unix command, and yeah, then gathering the specific process load and ensure that the script is not causing any harm to the box that you're currently using. But other than that, I've used the sleep function for some chat systems that I've been coding in the past, and it works really nice. And actually, this other technique that you've implemented shows up the potential that PHP has without threading, because it's not a threaded script, you cannot work between threads to ensure that the load is causing any harms. But having this functionality, it's basically does the same task as a threaded application would do.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you mean. You're talking about starting parallel threads from the same script.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, in PHP, it is possible, at least if you run on Linux or any Unix system, to use the PCNTL extension to start parallel processes. But now that you mentioned that the ability to monitor processes, I had an additional problem, which was related with the site indexing and searching system, which is HTD, which is a very old system that I've been using practically since the beginning of the site, and it is written in C++. So,
You mean HTDIG, which is the search process?
Index. Yes, the index, indexing the crawler that goes page by page and indexes the content to build the search index, that database. And that is something that runs once a day to keep the search index updated. And it takes several hours to conclude indexing the whole site pages. It's not a very efficient process, but right now it's the process that is in place.
And does it do full text searching?
Right, it does all that, but it crawls the whole page. It's like each page is a blob. It has no notion of what type of content is in each section of the page. But it has some features like to mark some sections of the page that you want to index and sections of the page that you do not want to index. It's not very modern, but it's efficient. It works. The only problem is that I basically have to index the whole site practically every day. And the number of indexable pages is about 50,000. Actually, I'm not indexing the actual pages served by PHP dynamically. There is a mirror site that contains static versions of the site pages.
Okay.
And that's what the crawler indexes.
What does generate that mirror? Is another process?
No, actually, that mirror is the base for all mirror sites. It contains static versions of all site pages that are mirrorable. When the crawler accesses it's a special domain.
It
has the same structure. And the crawler accesses that domain, and if the page does not exist, there is a error handling script that handles the missing page, that actually retrieves the page from the main site and stores it in a file. So until the page is changed, it remains up to date from the viewpoint of the crawler. The problem with all this is that it's just taking a long time to hours to crawl the whole site. And since it is a process that is running on the background, it adds load to the site. And the challenge here it was to throttle that separate process that is a PHP, that is a C++ program started from a PHP script. So what I did is to perform the same throttling principle of monitoring the load of the CPU, and then if the load is too high, the PHP script that started the process and to call HTD, it will run in parallel. It will be a separate process. It will be a child process that will be running. And that process will send a signal to the HTD to suspend its execution. So it effectively will pause the HTD crawler. And when the load gets back to acceptable levels, it will resume the execution.
Okay, you mean the PHP script sends some signals to the process, which will then halt the process until the CPU is back to the normal stage, and then resume it.
Yeah, exactly. And it turns out it worked quite well. PHP has the proc set of functions that. Has all the necessary functions to start a parallel program, in case I use proc open, and also functions to send signals. In this case, it's proc terminate, as I explained in that article, to send either a signal to suspend or resume the execution. And fortunately, it works quite well. I'm quite aware that over time, this will take the whole process will take too much time, and I'll finally have to move it to a separate server. But until then, I will not have to deal with the burden of paying an additional server just to perform this task. And this is basically a way to save money and preserve the speed of the site. Finally, a third article in this series, which at the time we are recording, I have not published it yet, but I can tell you about it, what is it about, which is basically about running certain system calls, certain PHP functions that support asynchronous programming. So let me first explain what I mean by asynchronous programming. For instance, if you access a file or access a remote site, you would open the file or open a connection to the remote server, and this process of opening connections or files and sending and retrieving data is something that will take time. And the idea of doing asynchronous programming is to use certain options available with the functions that open files and connections that allow to tell the PHP script to not wait until the files or connections are opened. Instead, when the connections are, or files are opened or the data is sent or retrieved, a callback function would be called, so the calling PHP script would know when the actual task that was executed was completed, being that opening a connection or a file or sending data, receiving data, reading data from a file, writing, whatever. This is most useful for any I/O operations. It could be applied to files, network accesses, but it could be also applied to database accesses. Currently in PHP, only files and network I/O is supported in the possibility of making those calls to the PHP functions asynchronous. Database accesses in PHP are always synchronous. This means that if, for instance, you perform a query to a database server, if it takes 3 seconds, the PHP script would stop and wait until the query is finished and the results are returned. And it would be great if, for instance, let's say you have a page that you have different sections with content that is retrieved from different database query results. And it would be interesting if, for instance, you could perform those queries in parallel. So if you start one query, you do not have to wait for that query to finish to start executing the second query and retrieve the data in parallel. And as I mentioned, this could be used for not only database accesses, but also accessing files and remote network servers. And this could be used for accelerating the execution of scripts using this technique that I call asynchronous programming. Actually, I never used this in PHP. Unlike the previous two articles I'm talking on which I'm talking about something that I have already experimented. In this case, it didn't. I have not yet tried it. I know that PHP has support for parallel programming, asynchronous programming for file and network I/O, but not database accesses. But this idea of exploring the possibility of using asynchronous programming came from the fact that some time ago, actually last month, I've been studying Node.js. Hernani, are you familiar with Node.js?
Yes, I've been looking into it. I never actually used it, but I've seen what it can, features you can add with it. And by having an asynchronous call to specific process in Node.js would really extend the power of it and interface PHP websites with Node.js, and probably you could then have function calls, remote calls, and sort of a model of a multi-tier applications talking with a JavaScript server running under Node.js, right?
Right. Well, let me give more detail for those that are not familiar with Node.js. Node.js is basically a framework for JavaScript server-side programming. And you could use it also for non-server programming, but that's what is mostly used for. And this framework is built on top of the Google V8 JavaScript engine. Google V8 is the same JavaScript engine that is implemented in the Google Chrome browser. It's quite fast. It supports JIT programming. It's quite optimized, and it makes JavaScript code actually run very fast. But Node.js has this focus of making every I/O asynchronous, and in the lately in JavaScript podcast that I published in the JS Classes site last month, I have talked a lot about the Node.js with Michael Kimson, my co-host, and also Mario Valente, our guest, about this Node.js approach of implementing asynchronous programming. And I thought it would be interesting to implement it, explore it in PHP, as PHP has some support for asynchronous programming, but it does not have all the support that we could to perform certain I/O operations asynchronously, namely for database accesses. But there is one idea that we could implement asynchronous programming without actually depending on changes on the PHP database access extensions, which would rely on using Gearman. Gearman, there was an article by Cesar Rodas written a few months ago that talks about Gearman. It is basically a middleware that can manage the execution of processes in the background that PHP could send a request to execute a certain process. And using Gearman, you could actually perform any database queries from there. And since Gearman supports asynchronous calls, it would be possible to implement asynchronous programming for accessing database that way. This means that the PHP would not have to wait for the tasks that were called to finish in order to continue to perform any other tasks in parallel. And this
Manuel.
Yes.
One question here. So basically, if I would like to implement, let's say, a content publication system, which from time to time performs some separated tasks, which goes into the database and performs some queries. And when those queries are ready,
it would then call another function in the remote script, which would then generate some static HTML files and make them available for the content management tool to publish those HTMLs as, let's say, articles.
So
we would have a static publication system by performing asynchronous calls between PHP servers, let's say that way.
Yeah.
So basically, we would have some sort of first tier, which would be the static website, and the second tier would be the database layer, which would rely on another system, and would then perform those background operations, yeah. and then right. Proceed with the logic of that, let's say, idea.
Yeah, yeah. And let me mention also that those background processes that could be running in parallel could also be written in PHP, because PHP could be a language that can be used either as a client of Gearman workers as well as a worker itself. So in the end, you could actually implement a whole architecture in PHP relying in Gearman as middleware. And another thing that I remember to mention is that, for instance, Facebook, I don't know if you ever noticed, Facebook, when you open a page of your profile or whatever, you notice that the page skeleton loads first, and then you see the body of each section of the page loading in parallel. And from what I've heard, it seems that Facebook uses a similar process for generating the different parts of the page. For instance, you have the part of your wall, and then the part of the chat, your friends that are in the chat. All that is retrieved in parallel, and one part may load before or after the other. And I don't know if they use Gearman, or if they don't use Gearman, they would probably use a similar process of implementing tasks.
An internal tool, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, actually, they have documents published about what they use. I just did not check, but after recording this podcast, I'll try to find those documents and publish a link in the show notes so people can understand what exactly they are using eventually. Get some ideas to implement on their systems. Basically, these articles that I have written so far have been having great success, have great interest from the community of users. There are a sort of surges in the accesses to the site when I publish these articles, and this seems to mean that they were useful. They interest a lot of people, and I hope this also helps PHP developers to achieve a different a higher level of maturity when implementing the architecture of their systems. But moving on with our podcast now. Other section. Now getting close to the end of this podcast, I'd like to comment about the latest PHP developments. There are many small things going on in the development of PHP. I noticed a few that could be interesting to mention. Just to give you an idea of what is going on, or probably what is not going on, because in this case I'm mentioning things that it seems there is not, let's say, a great interest from the PHP core developers to have them in the core. One thing that I'm going to mention first was actually a proposal that it seems to come back and forth. I think it's not the first time that somebody proposed it, but it was the first time I actually noticed that it's being discussed, which is the implementation of named parameters. PHP as you know, the function calls may have a variable number of parameters, but sometimes you do not remember the order of the parameters. So somebody suggested that when you do not remember, you could name the parameters in the right in the system, the function call, the place where the call is made, and so you could giving names, you could specify the parameters in the whatever order you think it is interesting, and eventually you could miss any parameters. This idea, from what I've heard, it was not greatly accepted, and what I've noticed as the main argument for not accepting this idea is that somehow you can implement this with associative arrays. PHP would, instead of getting a list of parameters, PHP would take an array and you would pass on it whatever parameters you want. Well, this is not exactly the same thing, but as, until name parameters are finally accepted, if ever, that's the way that we have to do it when implementing these calls that have optional parameters or parameters you don't know the order.
Yes, and one point here, Manuel, I would think about is if you are sending an associative array, it's not the best thing because first of all, documentation would be quite hard to discuss.
Right.
And also method signatures. If you are using an object-oriented approach, it would be also hard to explain and to pass to the let's say adopters of that API.
Right.
If you're providing some sort of API to a third-party provider, how you would document it and allow the user to understand it better?
Right, and it's not just that. For instance, the existing functions of PHP, you simply cannot change the arguments that they have to switch them to arrays because they are expecting a certain number of parameters, and what you want is not having to remember the order of the parameters, which in PHP, unfortunately, is quite inconsistent, which is a common complaint regarding PHP. But another feature that has been proposed and was not very well accepted, actually not accepted at all. It had lots of discussions and people complaining against and for it, was the support to annotations. Annotations is a feature that came from the Java world. Hernani, you are more familiar with the Java world. Can you explain briefly what are annotations for those that are from the PHP world that are not familiar with the concept?
Oh, yes. Yes, annotations, this is the name of metaprogramming adopted by Java. And suggested on the RFCs of PHP as annotations as well. But in C#, there is the attributes, which is a similar approach of metaprogramming. And basically, adopters of this functionality would benefit most likely when developing frameworks or using those frameworks that are already existing. So basically, when you have annotations facilities on your code, you are much more it's much more easier to document your code and actually to perform changes, because sometimes some frameworks demand external configuration,
right,
or let's say an object or relational mapping tool, you probably need to configure it. So let's say you are somehow using let's say MySQL as a main database, but then you have all your database layer mapped to an ORM solution, let's say as Doctrine is, Then I suddenly want to change this to support, let's say, Oracle or DB2, let's say. And basically, I would have to look into the ORM mapping XML configurations or properties, let's say that way, and I would have to change it there. But by using annotations, this process could be documented in the same code that you have, and you could basically just run a specific task to parse those annotations, and it would then generate automatically the mapping files for your classes. And this would benefit a lot if implemented, in my opinion.
Right.
And somehow, PHP doesn't have this feature right now. And somehow, some users are not focusing on it right now because it was never implemented. And in the PHP community, some claim that this is not a feature that would be used. But you know how is the development world. If you can use it and you have the way to do it, then you will. And by making PHP more rich in those approaches would really benefit from the developer standpoint and for the maintenance of the solution as well.
Right.
And there are a lot of other frameworks that would benefit from it, which would be PHP Unit and Xane framework, let's say it that way, and some other ORM solutions. I've mentioned Doctrine, but right. Symfony would also benefit from it, which I can recall right now.
Yes, I think Symfony uses Doctrine. Tell me one thing, Hernani. This proposal of implementing annotations was sent by Pierrick Charron. There is an RFC written by Pierrick Charron, and also Guilherme Blanco, which is a well-known figure that works on Doctrine, and we had in a previous podcast here talking about our ORM tool. And one claim that I saw when from those that opposing to implement annotations in PHP is that PHP already has PHP doc, and we don't need another meta information standard to support. Actually, I think this came from the Xane guys. I think Xane Studio supports PHP doc, and probably it will be more complicated for them to implement yet another metadata standard to use in these classes. Hernani, do you think that maybe PHP doc could be somehow extended to meet the features that annotations could provide?
Yes. What PHP doc basically do is basically, in my experience, I've never had to document any sort of a PHP project which I've coded. But in my Java background, I've done a lot of Java docs, and Java doc is an external task. So what it does, it reads the whole source path of your application, and it generates, let's say, a tidy documentation based off on HTML, structuring all the object model of a specific application, and would then provide a better documentation. And from the object-oriented standpoint, it would generate a nice documentation for adoption. So if the annotations would be implemented, basically, what annotations does is, from the development standpoint, any user, any framework developer would then have their own set of annotations. And annotations would be written in object-oriented approach. So they could specify parameters and attributes on each annotation. Because annotations are basically Java classes in the Java standpoint. So in PHP, it would be probably implemented in the same way.
So each PHP class would be would extend an annotation, and by extending an annotation, it would have special attributes that would be required for such specific configuration or generation of configuration files. So any framework developer would then provide their own set of annotations specific to their framework. And when developing a framework-based solution, you would then import those annotations and specifically document your code. What PHP doc does, it does have some specific metaprogramming that you can insert on your code, but they are not object-oriented, let's say that way. So they are standard strings. And what I can understand of it, it parses those specific strings and generates documentations. But it's not those strings are not objects. Right. So it cannot traverse to those objects to understand better of what is required by that. So by having the annotations approach, it would be more useful for the object-oriented approach, and mainly frameworks that are object-oriented would benefit from it. But I believe that the whole PHP would benefit from it once it's implemented. Right now, it's a very hard approach to understand for PHP developers who doesn't have an understanding of either Java or C#. Because it's something that was never seen for them. So basically, this is what I would consider the main issue that is causing them to avoid implementing it in the PHP.
My question was actually if do you think instead of implementing the actual format of annotations as we have in Java, which you described, it's practically defining a new class with definitions that contain the annotation information. Instead of actually doing that, do you think it could also be useful to as an alternative solution to extend the PHP doc format? Syntax in somehow to let's say implement similar features that annotations would provide.
Yes,
it would be different than Java, but
it would be very different. And any basically PHP doc would be one different task. And let's say for Doctrine, if Doctrine wants to have to implement their mapping metaprogramming solution, it would be Doctrine doc, let's say that way. So they would have then their set of parameters and traverse to that parameters and generate the mapping files for those objects.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't be a general feature of PHP. It would be a specific feature of each framework. And
because the PHP syntax parser actually returns information where are PHP docs statements, whatever they call that syntax that PHP doc has. So it's not a process that is not so integrated in the language. My idea is probably to extend that syntax that PHP doc supports and provide space for the necessary constructs that annotations would provide.
Oh, yes, and one point is in the Java, I'm not sure, I may be me talking about things that I don't know here, and I'm assuming things on the PHP side. My experience with annotations would be in Java. And by Java, in Java, you have a compiler. So basically, when you're coding your application, you have some specific compiler warnings that the annotations provides to that. So you can use that in that specific portion. But in PHP, without the compiler feature, I don't know how much that kind of benefit would be transparent to the user. But maybe on exception handling or specific error messages, you could then document those error messages on a specific documentation metaprogramming, and it could go from that way. But I don't know. I really don't know. It would be really hard to investigate, and I would have to understand better how PHP doc was implemented and how PHP benefits from it to better talk about this.
Yeah.
But I know that Java uses it regularly, and it's really important right now. And if the users, if the PHP users, wants to dig into this, I would recommend going into the Java annotations to better understand the feature and to better see the benefits it could bring to PHP in that sort of matter. And as PHP 5 took a lot of features from the object-oriented world, let's say C# and Java as well, it got what is good from those languages. Why wouldn't it benefit as well from annotations which is also implemented in C# and Java?
Right.
And
it's a matter of perception whether it is useful or not. Like you just said, some people that opposed just claim that they do not see a use for in their own application, so they say, so for them they just reject it. But as you mentioned, they will never miss something that they do not know or understand. But for now, the feature is sort of rejected. But I suspect that sooner or later it will come back again with maybe some those that rejected it now. Maybe they think again and start seeing it seeing its benefits. So let's wait and see.
Oh yes, and when my suggestion is when you are using a specific application that is willing to talk to different database systems, and if you are using PHP 5 on your project, I would really recommend using an object relational mapping tool. And doctrine seems to be the main streamline right now. And by using that and by using annotations, it would really, really make the developer's life easier, as well as the framework. It could be a richer framework by adopting that functionality.
Well, let's wait and see. But for
right
now, we are reaching the end of our podcast. There is one last section, which is the one on which we comment the packages, the classes that were nominated in the month of August. So they were voted in September, and then in October we had the results. Hernani, what packages do you think that are worth highlighting more than others?
Oh yes, basically the number two and number three here, the one who generates chords for guitars. When I started having guitar classes, I used to try to document my own music using chords, and by having this, it brings me to those memories, and it also brings the creative process of PHP developers, which can show to many other developers around the world how PHP can be useful for those kinds of solutions. And you can see that given some knowledge and some creative ideas, you can pretty much create very useful specific solutions for your own needs. And the other one would be the Django implementation, which is Hanga by Cesar Rodas, which seems similar to the Django engine, and it has the same approaches. Yeah, right. So basically, a Django developer could understand better PHP by using it,
as well as it could provide backward compatibility with Django projects if someone is trying to port from a Django-based project into PHP. They could seamless do that transition. And as well as one who isn't familiar with Django and wants to benefit from the framework approach, but doesn't want to give up of PHP, he could also benefit from this this solution. So my vote goes to that one as well.
Yes, this is, before somebody misunderstands what you said, this is not an implementation of Django in PHP. This is just the template engine that Django has that was ported to PHP. It is that the way you mentioned it would seem like a Django port, which is not that complete at all. It's just the template engine, and that's right. What this template engine does, probably different than others, and the reason why it was nominated is that it implemented template inheritance. It's basically a language that lets you embed some marks to define sections and control structures in the template. One of those control structures is the ability to inherit an existing template and modify it in a way that it is useful to implement a new variant of a template without the whole effort of redoing the original template.
So basically, I could write, let's say, a home page with a custom layout and extend that layout for inner pages. Or let's say if I have some specific content pages and I repeat those in some sections of my website, I could extend those and have some sort of a inheritance approach to development on that design. On the view layer of my application, right?
Right.
Very nice. What would be yours?
Well, basically, there are many classes that would be worth mentioning. We just don't have the time, but I like to comment on a couple of classes that basically do serve for similar purpose, which is to compare two images and give a result of how the image may be similar or different. It is interesting, these two classes, one named Image Compare by Dennis, and the other Image Comparison class by Kaiming Choi. I hope I'm spelling his name correctly. And they just provide similar an implementation for a similar purpose, but one displays it visually and the other evaluates the difference between images in terms of intensity of the pixels. These are those that I would like to mention for this month. Unfortunately, we do not have more time to comment on others, but I hope the authors that I haven't mentioned this month would not mind, but keep sending more innovative classes, and we'll be gladly highlight them in the future months. So now we practically ended our podcast. Once again, Hernani, I'd like to thank you for your presence and your insights. I hope everybody interested to discuss these subjects further would be interested in posting comments, questions, opinions, just by posting a comment to the article of the podcast in the PHP Classes site blog. So for me, for now, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.